Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
.609 here on WGN 720. John Hanson in until 7 o'clock. Thanks so much for joining us here. And I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to get some snow. Perhaps we'll have to wait and see when and where. But Rick DiMaio joins us right now. You know him well. He comes on the show very often from Lewis University. And Rick, how you feeling, man? You think we're going to do it?
Good to be with you, John. John, you sound like how we used to feel in, you know, undergraduate meteorology class when we began to cheerlead these storms. And then you get into the real world and your forecasts have economic implications and you begin to become more of a scientist. But I'm with you. I'm cheerleading 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow.
You think it's going to happen? I mean, what are we talking about here? Because I know it's going to be potentially more north and west. So is it a matter of just how far south this dips, whether it gets to O'Hare to be an official measurable snowfall?
Yeah, and let's first put this in the context. What we're talking about is the fact that O'Hare, since 1980, is the official site for Chicago. It used to be Midway Airport. Before that, University of Chicago. Before that, City Hall, downtown Chicago. All right? We have not had measurable snow, meaning snow that's actually greater than greater than 0.1 inches, where you can actually see it on the ground, or maybe even put a ruler and measure it, okay? That's basically what measurable snow is. Typically, we see an inch of snow by about the 7th of December. Typically, we see measurable snow around the 15th of November, the latest we've ever had measurable snow, literally to the point where you can get something on the ground or an inch, is back in 2012. That was December 20th. So we've already eclipsed the record by what now, 8 days?
Yeah.
So the fact that we're going to get it finally tomorrow, and it does look like we're going to get it at O'Hare, it's going to be probably, I would say, John, one of the weakest, ugliest looking late season 1 to 2 inch snowstorms that we've ever seen around here. I mean, it's basically going to be a slush fest, and then it's going to turn to rain, and we're going to get fog, and it's going to get cold, and it's going to turn to crust. So it's not going to be a pretty snow by any stretch of the imagination. I think I kind of painted an ugly picture, didn't I?
Yeah, you sure did. I'm not looking forward to it anymore. No longer cheering it on. I wanted a powdery, really nice one for the first one.
No. It's not the kind of one where you see in the movie White Christmas where Danny Kane, Big Crosby, going out there singing and going, listen, it's great out. No.
It's waiting for a CTA train, and you get sprayed with muddy white slush.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so bottom line, we are under a winter weather advisory. And to be serious about this, this is going to be about a four-hour event, literally like a snowburst. It's going to come down really hard, really fast. Visibility is going to be poor. I think generally on a line for about DeKalb to just maybe south of Crystal Lake up to about Waukegan, and then northward, we're talking about solid 2, maybe 3 inches. Ground temperatures are going to be a real big factor in whether or not the snow is going to be an impact for people driving. I don't think it's going to be that bad here in the city of Chicago. Two reasons. The overnight low temperature is barely going to get below freezing. The event itself is going to come between about, I'd say, 11 a.m. and about 4 p.m., which means in the middle of the day, your temperatures are generally warmest. So it could be snowing generally right around 30, 31 degrees. And, you know, we've been so mild. Right now we're at 7.5 degrees above normal. This is going to turn out to be the fifth warmest December in 150 years of record keeping. That means Lake Michigan is going to play a factor. Usually the lake plays a factor in the month of November. Typically it doesn't play a factor in the month of December, but this is not your normal December. So any slight wind off the lake is going to keep lakefront communities, especially areas from Chicago southward, really getting a lot of accumulation due to the fact there's going to be a lot of lake warming. So bottom line, little system comes in called a Southern Plains low. It's going to be in and out of here very quickly. It's not going to be very, very pretty, and I wouldn't be surprised if we get the inch or two of snow. It's just not going to look very nice.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And not only is this late in the season, we're talking about a near historic gap as the longest we've ever gone over a whole span of time without snow that we are coming close to tying or breaking, but this would stop us from doing that.
Well, you know, no, we already broke the record on December 20th.
For the latest. So I had read somewhere that the gap between March 11th or whenever the last snowfall was. We'd get to 290 days was the previous record I had read. But I think the National Weather Service put that on. That would have been December 30th, so we might not quite get to that record. But yes, for this particular season, yes.
Yeah, and what's interesting is we have seen more and more of these late starts to, you know, snow and also more of an early finish.
Yeah.
It doesn't usually mean that we have nice springs around here, but, yeah, if you look back at the last time we had measurable snow, it's back on March 11th. And it's interesting, if you go all the way from, you know, northern Illinois into the Plain States and right up to the Front Range of the Rocky Mountains, Denver broke their record. They went 233 days without measurable snow. So it really isn't just us. It's pretty much everywhere from about central Colorado right into the southern Great Lakes. But, you know, John, if you go north, you know, Green Bay, 20 inches of snow so far this season. Up around Minneapolis, Twin Cities, 25. You get further north, northern Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, up around the UP of Michigan. They're up to 40, 50 inches. A lot of that came with lake effect snow. But the pattern has been such that it's been active, but the storms have been generally moving about maybe 50 to 100 miles further north than they normally do, and that's one of the reasons why we've been on the warm side. I mean, for Pete's sakes, we had thunderstorms last night.
Right.
When was the last time you woke up with thunderstorms, not only during the day, but at night? And on top of that, there was sleet and even some, you know, some slushy accumulation up around the Kenosha Racine area. So it's been a very, very odd beginning of winter season.
Yeah.
I guarantee you it's going to be much, much colder as we head into January. But even before that hits, we're going to get, I think, rain probably by New Year's Eve and into New Year's Day.
All right. Well, we'll talk more about that. I want to ask you more about those storms last night. Also, I love me and you going back and forth on records for snow. We are the biggest nerds of all time. It sounds like people debating like bear stats, and here we are arguing about snow records. It's fun. Rick DeMai, I'm going to put you on hold here. We're going to take a look at a little bit more on the weather forecast and traffic with Ryan Burrow. Chicago's Afternoon News, it's 6:19. It's John Hanson taking you till 7 o'clock, joined by the always wonderful Rick DeMaio, professor of aviation meteorology at Lewis University and instructor of climate change at Loyola. Hey, Rick, before we get to the storms last night, I was reminded when we were chatting before that the last time we chatted on air, me and you, was the afternoon leading into the horrific tornado outbreak in Kentucky.
Right.
And, you know, you take no solace in knowing that, you know, you had said what we said and you had warned about that sort of thing.
Right.
But, you know, we haven't had a chance to really talk since then too much. Yeah. Reflecting back on that, I mean, that's going to go down as just one of the most extreme weather events in history, especially for December.
Yeah, and just to remind our, you know, listeners, that was the one on December the 10th that produced over 40 tornadoes. They're still trying to determine whether or not the tornado that went through started out in Arkansas, the Boot Hill, Missouri, Kentucky, and eventually, I believe, ended up almost crossing the Ohio River.
Mm-hmm.
Could go down as the longest tornado in the history of the United States, eclipsing the tri-state, which was back on March 18th, 1925. This one is already going down as the quad state because it did move through southern Illinois. And it's what's really odd about this, John, is if you look back at, you know, and anybody can do this, just Google tri-state tornado, and you can see it actually started out almost in exactly the same place as the quad state did, but it was only about 50 to 60 miles further north. That particular tornado occurred during tornado season, late March. It also occurred in 1925. You know, absence of technology resulted in 695 fatalities because the fields were just plowed. There was a lot of dust and dirt, so there really wasn't ever a funnel cloud. Mm. It was more like a wall cloud of dust. Because of that, no one really saw what was coming, and there was a really high percentage of farmers working in the field who were killed. That's rare for tornadoes. Usually farmers know what to do.
Right.
In this event, I heard a lot of people talking about, you know, whether or not climate change was an impact. I think you have to really take climate and really begin to dissect it. You know, there's the atmosphere, there's the hydrosphere, there's the biosphere, There's the part that includes people, you know, anthropogenic, things like that. This storm, from a dynamic standpoint, could happen in the month of December. I think the wild card was the amount of moisture and the amount of heat that was able to get into the storm and produce such violent tornadoes or such violent thunderstorms that then produced tornadoes that went on for a long period of time. And I distinctly remember glued to watching the Weather Channel. I don't normally do that, but I do during severe weather. The three gentlemen who were doing the weather, I think it was Mike Bettis, Carl Parker, and Chris Bruin, who was in Memphis. And it was 9 o'clock at night. It was 80 degrees with a 67 dew point.
Jeez.
And I'm thinking, I'm thinking 80 degrees with a 67 dew point at 9 o'clock in Memphis, Tennessee.
It's summer.
On the 10th of December. Right. That's not supposed to happen, but it did. And that was one of the reasons why you're able to get such violent tornadoes. The fact that they lasted for a long period of time was the dynamics. The dynamics of the atmosphere could happen in December and January. It was really the moisture that was part of it more than anything. Hate to say it, John, but the next system that's coming through here at the end of the month, or I should say at the end of the week, New Year's Eve and New Year's night, has the same sort of footprint that this next storm system or that the one had on December the 10th.
Whoa.
It's really scary.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Because I've been hearing about snow potentially for our New Year's Day. Well, you're talking about Saturday, right?
Right. I'm talking about areas to the south of us are going to get much, much warmer. But we're probably going to see rain and maybe even temperatures in the 40s around here. But you go anywhere from St. Louis southward to the same area, I guarantee you there's going to be another thunderstorm outbreak with potential severe weather. It's hard to say this, but I think we're in for round two coming up here in another 3 or 4 days.
Wow. Well, we'll know a little bit more as we get closer, obviously. We'll get a little bit better information. But that is something to note if anyone knows anyone in those areas. Right. That's what was so scary about what happened in Kentucky. And, boy, you hit it on the head before we were on the air. It's that these nocturnal tornadoes are dangerous. They're scary. People don't pay attention to tornadoes in general in December. They don't maybe take them as seriously. We had people in factories at work. We're just not as in tune to it.
Yeah, and you know what I really feel bad about is the fact that this next system could produce some rain. I was just talking early in the day to Mike Murphy, who's the general manager of Chestnut Mountain. And I go out there every once in a while. I said, Mike, how do your slopes look? He goes, Rick, 60 to 65%, that's it. And the reason why is they make snow, but yet it's too warm for the snow to stay, so you end up getting slush. And he goes, as long as you can get me some nights where I'm in the mid-20s, we'll be, next to 100%. And it looks like Chestnut Mountain, which is out by Galena, could be up to 100% of their runs by the end of the weekend. So, a lot of these smaller-scale operations – day drives away from Chicago have really been hurting. So I urge everybody, don't give up on winter yet, even though it hasn't been much of a winter. There's a lot of winter yet. And, we obviously want to get the people who have suffered quite a bit from last year due to COVID back on track as quickly as we can. I don't know if the airlines are going to help us out with that.
Right. I saw last night just everyone was going. I mean, it woke me up, the thunder and the storms, and it felt unusual, of course, for December, but not unheard of. I can remember, maybe it was like 15 years ago on New Year's Day, a 65-degree day or something weird with a storm at night. Not to say that, climate changes aren't contributing to it, but when you just take these individual events, a lot of these things happen.
Yeah, I was actually looking back at the last five Decembers. We've had four of them with thunderstorms, so it's not uncommon, and we will get them here. But the odd thing about it is these thunderstorms are now occurring a little bit more frequently, and clearly the ones to the south of us a little bit more, impactful on the airlines. And I was listening to, some of the news reports. They were talking about, 1,300 flights canceled in and out of the United States. But when you really drill down into the data, 15% SkyWest, because that's basically the Western United States where places like California, Oregon, and Washington have been slammed with snow. I mean, it was snowing during the Bears game.
Yeah.
But you look at Delta Airlines, 4%, United Airlines, 4%, American, 3%, JetBlue, 6%. It really hasn't had that much of an impact on the major airlines, mainly due to the fact, John, that places like Denver, O'Hare, Washington, D.C., and New York have basically escaped the winter weather. once that begins to happen, and tomorrow is going to be the case where you're going to be de-icing airplanes, I think you're going to see those numbers of canceled flights go way up, especially with O'Hare and Midway being impacted tomorrow.
You mentioned de-icing airplanes. Does it just add, is that extra step, just add that extra time, and then they can't be taxiing too long because then they have to get de-iced again? Is that really what contributes to it, even if it is just a minor snow event?
Yeah, and when you really look at it, you have someone driving a truck, you have someone in a cherry picker, you have someone loading up the fuel, someone loading up the fluid, so you literally have to add almost an additional 10 to 15% to your staff or take them away from other duties. If COVID is impacting the ability for an airport, not an airline, for an airport to run their operation, you're talking about flight delays, you're talking about ground delays, and if airlines know that ahead of time, they'll start canceling flights. It's like a chess game. They'll take 30 from here, 30 from here, and put them on one, as long as they're going in the same place. So, yeah, even if it's not snowing that much, as long as there's snow in the air, FARs, which is the Federal Aviation Regulations, Part 135, which governs the airport, says there is no snow that can be visible on the fuselage of a wing or a plane. You know how much it costs to de-ice a 737? Between $6,000 and $10,000. So that alone, airlines will
each
go,
time?
I don't think we need to get each time. I don't think they get each time. Big time. It's a lot of money. You can easily burn through about $1 million at O'Hare just by United Airlines de-icing all those airplanes. It's a lot of money, but it has to be done.
Yeah.
Ever since Air Florida crashed in the Potomac
DC,
River back in the early 80s, and yeah, that was a big one. That's another thing we can talk about another time.
Yeah, into the 14th Street Bridge. All right, yeah, we will talk about that another time. Got about a minute left. Rick, give us one more time the recap for tomorrow. What to expect, when to expect it.
So winter weather advisory goes in effect tomorrow morning. Or no, it's actually in effect now, but actually for tomorrow morning. Between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., a quick 1 to 2 inches of snow, mainly wet on the roads. But I do think another shot of snow pretty much Wednesday night, maybe another 1 to 2 inches, and it looks like rain for New Year's Day. So not exactly a very nice forecast. It is Chicago. It is December. We've seen worse. So as much as you and I are complaining about the lack of snow, a lot of people are saying, shut up, guys. I love the fact that we're getting our first snow on the 30th on the 28th of December.
I hear shut up, guys, a lot for many different reasons. So, but yeah, maybe one of them. Hey, Rick, as always, I appreciate your time, man.
Anytime, John, and peace, love, and happiness. If I don't talk to you again, Happy New Year, buddy.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Rick DeMaio over at Lewis and Loyola he knows everything. I just love talking with him. He just can break it all down, puts it into context, too, for the flying and all that sort of stuff. Just a great guy, always comes on. We appreciate it. So that's where you have it, the forecast for tomorrow, of course, and we'll keep you posted on all things. And you'll keep it right here on WGN through all of it, whether it's a little bit more, a little bit less, somewhere in between. We'll keep it, keep you posted.